We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, y'all. Throwing our midday party, and we got the music to prove it today. West Coast Rap has won the contest at Rick and John 929. Every Thursday, we're going to put up some musical choices. You're going to vote on it, and the winner is going to be played all Friday at West Coast Rap. Let it wash over you like a warm shower.
This album...
It makes me want to party, John, is what
boy,
I want.
This is a top five album of all time. Like, literally top five, Snoop Dogg's Doggy Style. You can put that on today, play 1 through 14 or 15, and never skip a song.
You don't even need a DJ. Just
no,
put it
just
on,
put it
push
on
play.
And let it ride.
Yep.
Even from the G-Funk intro and just let the bathtub intro, whatever it was called, and just let it ride. You're good.
You just bounce your head to it. This isn't even about the white man wiggle. It's just the bounce.
I remember I had called Peaches on Okeechobee Boulevard or West Palm Beach. 10 o'clock in the morning, Peaches opened the day that Snoop Dogg's Doggy Style came out. I called him at 10 a.m.
Where'd the music go?
Why'd you cut that off?
What the hell?
I called Peaches at 10 a.m. Do you have a copy of Snoop Dogg's Doggy Style? They said, yeah. I said, can you hold one? They said, got 30 minutes to get here because we have a line waiting to buy this album.
Awesome.
Went down there and bought my tape. Actually, I think I bought a CD. 92, I may have had a CD player by then.
Can I complain about something?
Sure, why not?
I don't want to spend like a whole segment on this. Okay, I just got to get this off my chest because it's been brewing.
Let it fly.
We got to make this a slice of life next week.
Okay.
Are you a squatter or a pooper? Because it's just like these people that just sit in the stalls. They just sit. What are you doing? Do you have a life?
Reading.
Do you have a job? Do you have a family? Just sitting in the toilet.
Yeah.
With no noises going on and nothing going on. You're just sitting in the toilet. Why are you doing that?
Well,
I don't understand these squatters.
Well, some
I'm
of them,
a pooper.
You know
I get in, I get out.
Some of them have stage fright, and they don't. You know, somebody else walks in the bathroom, and they just sit there.
You build a nest, you get the job done, and you move on with your day.
Look at Mark Owens.
I don't get the squatters.
Look at Mark. Look at
I don't
Mark.
Get it.
Look at Mark. Mark's got his head in
It's because he's a squatter.
No, he's trying to squat past this segment.
No, I don't take my phone or my laptop. I take my entire computer set up. I put the tower. Make sure the Wi-Fi is good. Sometimes I hook up Netflix on the TV.
I'll be honest. Some of these computers might work better if you bring them in the toilet.
But it's as if it's like these people make themselves home in the stall for like a half hour. Move on with your day.
Okay. No, here's what it's literally people have stage fright. They hear somebody walk in and they wait for you to leave. We know what you're doing. Just be done with it. There's nothing to be afraid of.
So we don't have to spend an entire segment talking about this. Mm-hmm. And I apologize to the good folks at Vision Computer, and that's our Twitter poll today. So we don't have to spend a whole lot of time.
Are you a squatter or a pooper?
Yep.
Oh, boy.
We'll make this one quick.
You really had to apologize to Vision Computer?
We're just going to squeeze out
Vision Computer's on line one in 3, 2, 1.
All right. So John and I were talking. We want to with our guys, Preacher Man and Emma, we want to continue to ask us something about anything trademark 92.9, whatever the hell we call that thing, for trademark purposes. We're going to talk Falcons here as well. But if you guys want to call us and ask us anything, we're all feeling extraordinarily lazy today.
Yeah,
knock yourself out.
Yeah, we can go with that. You guys can ask us anything about something, about things that you're on your mind, and we'll answer them via the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line.
Or if you want to talk Falcons, you can call too.
So the ringer, and of course the computer over here has just ringed me out of having reception.
John just almost broke his mouse trying to get these.
It's not moving. And
did you bang it real hard?
I did. I'm trying to loosen it up, and it's just stuck. It's not going anywhere. But there's an article from The Ringer that has the most stable franchises in the NFL. And out of all 32 franchises in the NFL, the number one, what they consider most stable franchise, would be our Atlanta Falcons.
Burp, burp.
Do you agree?
No, hell no. Burp, burp. You know what that is?
That's the wrong answer on Jeopardy.
Thank you, John.
That's for all the people that couldn't answer any of the football questions a week ago.
Like, I don't even watch Jeopardy. I'm not smart enough. Legitimately, I'm not smart enough. But I love when a guy gets the answer, a girl gets the answer wrong. Burp, burp. Go, right, M.O., when they got to go to the judges and Alex Trebek, and it's burp, burp.
I don't know, man. I'm still trying to figure out how to word this Vision Computer Twitter poll.
I think we just Don't put that one up.
No, hold on. We are so sorry.
We shouldn't erect that one?
No, that one should not go up.
We are. It's a verb, for crying out loud.
All right, there we go. We are so sorry. Done.
Right, are you a squatter or a pooper?
It's not. It's up. It is. All right, Rick and John, 929. Your bathroom routine, parentheses, we're so sorry. Hover, go, get out. Or sit, relax, no rush.
So, but it's one or the other, right?
It's one or the other.
Okay, good.
At home, I'm a relaxer. I'm in no hurry.
See, that's totally different. You're at your home.
Right.
I'm trying to get in and out of a public bathroom without getting the flu as soon as friggin' possible, okay?
You and this flu.
So, and by the way, John Fricke, God bless him, he's been sick all week. Pray for your boy that I don't catch what John had. He has been coughing and sneezing all week. But, John, my prediction is that the squatters are going to win. I think there's more squatters than poopers in public bathrooms. I think the squatters are going to win this bet.
You're probably right on with this. So let me ask you this,
yeah.
To get back to the Falcons and get away from pooping in public places. Who would you have as the most stable franchise right now in the NFL going into 2018?
Who has the two GOATs?
It's New England.
Mm-hmm. They're the most stable team in the NFL.
Okay.
Who wins their division? Every year.
That
Who
would
gets
be
a
New
first
England.
Round bye? Every year. Who is preordained? Who is contractually sent to the AFC title game every year?
It's New England.
The Patriots. How could they not be the most stable team? Oh, because Alex Guerrero is the scorned side piece that's going to come in between the GOATs, Bill Belichick and Tom Brady? Give me all of the breaks on that, right? If Tom Brady catches that freaking pass, and it's a different ball game.
Sure.
And there were all kinds of fourth downs that New England went for it and didn't get it. The greatest gadget play in the history of the NFL proved to be the difference in the Super Bowl. That's why New England lost, right? To me, they're the most stable franchise in the NFL. John, but before people think I'm hating on the Falcons, I'm not. I think the Falcons are one of the most stable teams and organizations in the NFL. I just don't think they're number one.
Now, here's what this goes through. It's talking about head coaching changes. It talks about control of new general managers, facing turnover at the coordinator positions, the most exciting quarterback carousel that they're talking about coming up, and that's where they go. So, obviously, New England's losing a coordinator in Matt Patricia, and when this article was written, and I'm trying to look at the date on this, February 8th, which was just 2 days ago, Josh McDaniels was already coming back to New England. I don't know how you don't keep New England at number one. I have a hard time figuring out why Philadelphia would not be number one or number two. And I get it. Frank Reich could be leaving. John DeFilippo is interviewing for some jobs as well. He could be leaving as well. You're talking about Carson Wentz and Nick Foles and Doug Peterson and really having your core back together a year from now in Philadelphia. How do you not say, and getting people back healthy?
Yeah, where's Philly on that list?
They are fourth. Here's how the Ringer has them ranked. It is Atlanta number one. I don't agree. I'd love to agree that we're the most stable. We're not the most stable.
I think
stable.
We're top five. I don't think
top
we're
five,
number one.
Top five, sure. Number two, the New Orleans Saints.
What?
I'm not making the list. I'm
Drew
just
Brees
reading
is a free agent. How can they? I mean, I think he's staying, but he's a free agent.
New England, number three. Two spots too low, but okay. Philly, number four. No problem with that.
No problem with that.
The Baltimore Ravens, number five?
Ozzie Newsome, the news just came out. This is going to be his last year as general manager of the Ravens. All right. I love their coach, John Harbaugh. I am a fan of Joe Flacco, although he is making it year after year way harder to be a fan of his. And by the way, with each passing game and each passing season, John, Joe Flacco's epic playoff run is looking more and more like a mirage. It really is. Like, he went Joe Montana on that playoff run, and now he's, like, maybe slightly above average. It's really crazy.
They have the Chargers number six. Okay, the further I read to this article, the more I just go, huh? The Rams, who just lost their offensive coordinator. The Steelers, number eight, they should be higher. They got the same group coming back. The Packers, all right, they get Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy. Jacksonville, Dallas. Cincinnati, number 12. Okay.
What?
Yeah, Cincinnati, number 12. Most stable franchises.
All right, so we'll take your calls here on something about anything, about whatever you want to ask us. No, I mean, but it does generate a good conversation about the stability of franchises and where we rank. I definitely think we're safely in the top five. We're going to have our offensive coordinator back for a second year, whether people like it or not. We're going to have Marquand Manuel back for a second year. But really the key with this whole conversation, John, to me, is who's your coach and who's your quarterback?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, okay, we got Quinn and Ryan. We are solid as heck. Maybe not elite, but solid. I got Dan Quinn in the top 10 of NFL head coaches. I have Matt Ryan. Maybe not in fantasy, but in reality, I would have him in my top 10.
Here's how I would rank top five most stable franchises. New England would be one. Probably Philadelphia, too. And I'm saying probably because Pittsburgh, say what you want. I know Le'Veon Bell's a scenario. Pittsburgh's been the same franchise for 40 years, really. And quarterbacks and coaches have changed. They've been the same. I would have Atlanta number four and then Green Bay number five.
Green Bay
just fired Dom Capers during the offseason. And they're going through some turmoil player-wise. But that would be my top five.
I'm okay with that. I'm a Mike McCarthy guy. A lot of people aren't. I don't know why you're not a Mike McCarthy guy. Probably because you're not watching the games close enough. His clock management. To me, there's not a – Tom Coughlin was the best coach at the red flag. He was the best challenge coach there has ever been, in my opinion. He never threw it when – you know, John, when you're watching the replay and you're like, okay, he caught the ball. Like, Coughlin never made that mistake of throwing the flag when it was an obvious, but he only threw it when it was going to benefit his team. Mike McCarthy – I'd put him in the top three for challenge flag use right now and overall game management. I'm a fan.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of Green Bay fans that are not fans of Mike McCarthy.
Get over it.
Well, here's the reason. I think it's the Pittsburgh line of thinking for the fans that don't like Mike Tomlin. It's we feel we should win the Super Bowl every year and we haven't.
Okay, Tom Brady, when he retires, that's when the whole thing's going to open up for everybody.
Green Bay looks and goes, okay, we haven't been to a Super Bowl in, what, 6 years now?
Something like that, yeah.
So there's a lot of Green Bay fans that say we might need a change. And a lot of that had to do with the fact that they stuck beside Dom Capers for a long time. And that defense had been bad for a long time.
They've also made
a lot
of mistakes in the draft, John.
They have.
Picking players. They have not had, like, the New Orleans Saints last year had one of the best drafts ever.
Mm-hmm.
When we took Keanu Neal and Deion Jones, and Devondre Campbell was in that draft as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
That is one of the best drafts, at least in Falcons history. But the Packers need, well, I don't like the Packers, so they don't need it. But for the sake of you know, Packer Nation, they need one of those transcending drafts right now.
Here's the bottom of this list, just for argument's sake. Arizona dead last. And here's what they say. Cardinals have an entirely new staff and no quarterbacks under contract. That's kind of a problem.
I'm totally okay with it because of this. They were nothing before Bruce Arians. Well, hold on a second. Who was the coach when they went to the Super Bowl? Who was their coach when they went to the Super Bowl?
It wasn't Bruce Arians.
It was not Bruce Arians.
Ken Whisenhunt. That's who it was.
Timeout. Ken Whisenhunt took the Cardinals to the Super Bowl?
Yep.
Oh, my God. That's why I forgot that.
Mm-hmm.
But Bruce Arians, to me, brought a gangster vibe to Arizona and got way more out of Carson Palmer, I think, than any of us thought he would. I'm a big Bruce Arians fan, so I agree with that. You don't have a QB. You don't have a head coach. And by the way, you're still run by the Bidwell family,
mm-hmm.
who historically have been one of the numbskull ownership groups in the NFL.
Let's run through the other ones. Indianapolis, second worst.
I'm okay with that.
Denver.
I'm not okay with that.
Cleveland.
I'm okay with that.
And Sean Thompson's New York Jets.
I'm definitely okay. How can the Denver Broncos, headed up by a brilliant GM and John Elway,
be below the Browns?
Yeah, I get it. They had a bad year and they need a quarterback, but come on, man. Come on, man.
Your Bills are 27th.
They should be a little higher, actually.
How are the Buffalo Bills ranked lower than the Dolphins, who are in the top 20? I get it. The Titans got a new coach, but you got Marcus Mariota and a new coach. You don't trust them more than you trust the Dolphins with Adam Gase and Ryan Tannehill? Hey, come on.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, I like the way I like the direction Tennessee is going a lot. That is a talented football team.
Yep.
Oh,
they made the playoffs.
Why did they underachieve?
Won a game.
Right, why did they underachieve, you know, relatively speaking? Because Mike Mularkey was their head coach, and he's just not that guy.
Take a call here, 404-741-0929. Guys, want to sound off on a bunch of different stuff. Let's go to D in the ATL. D, how you doing?
What's going on, fellas?
Yo.
I just think, like, as far as the list you just read off, that the jury's still going to be out as far as how stable Atlanta is, you know, depending on the contract that Matt Ryan signs. The reality of it is that I think he – will sign something like 145, 147.5, and just make everybody in the front office do their job as far as getting everything else taken care of as far as pieces around him. I can't live in a fantasy world thinking that he's going to give us some sort of discount so he can, you know, put pieces around him to, you know, more so make a run at the Super Bowl.
But, my friend, I don't think that's fantasy land. Fantasyland is wanting him to take a bonus money contract only. I don't think it's Fantasyland to want Matt Ryan to leave a little money on the table for the sake of adding another $2 million defensive player or anything like that. Love the call. Thanks for listening, but I don't think that's Fantasyland.
I've got to give Mark some credit on this one. For West Coast Rap, he went back in the archives for this.
What do we got here?
Souls of Mischief, 93 to Infinity. Rick Ross actually used this beat on his last album.
It's dope.
It's one of the great beats of all time.
John, every word, Michaels strikes
this again. This is one of my favorite songs. This is in the top 50 of the John Michaels era. Take a break. We come back. More conversation on the Atlanta Falcons. Some guys want to sound off. And we do an NFL bounce. What do fans want fixed more than anything? I think it's pretty simple. Next on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Burp, burp. You know what that is?
That's the wrong answer on Jeopardy.
Thank you, John. I love when a guy gets the answer, a girl gets the answer wrong. Burp, burp.
We're bouncing around the shield.
Let's go!
It's the NFL Bounce on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, we're back with our NFL Bounce. All right, let's talk Jeopardy for a second. First of all, I screwed it up. It's not burp, burp. It's burp, burp, burp. So it's three beeps, not two beeps. Burp, burp. And then Mark, the Jeopardy watcher around here, said that, give me the clarification on that.
It's actually, when they get it wrong, Alex Trebek will just say, oh, that's incorrect. Or, that's not right. This is actually the out of time.
Aha. Okay, I still like the noise.
Right,
the effect.
Right noise.
Give it to me one more time.
We're going to make this an isolation. Come on. You know how I feel
Well,
today?
You haven't banged your mouse like I did earlier, so bang it.
What is going on?
It's not working. There it goes.
Sorry, Mark.
Delayed reaction.
I didn't mean to create stress. Sorry about that. It's not what I'm here for. Oh, by the way, I am... Did you say woosah? So I've got this microphone in front of me, and I don't have the little...
The mic muff?
What do you call it? The mic muff, okay? It's just a naked microphone right here. And I'm looking at it, and I am really, really afraid of this naked microphone because... My main man, John Fricke's been talking into this naked microphone.
Yeah, but I think he's got a muff.
He does?
Yeah, he's got a muff.
Oh, thank
God.
Yeah,
he brings his own protection.
Oh, my gosh. All right, you just restored peace of mind to your boy. Let's talk football.
And Randy had a mini muff on here today. It was like one of the short jabbers.
Uh-huh. Okay. I'm going to leave that one alone.
I think you need to have that.
You have a new toy now, right, Mark?
This is it. And you know what we were thinking about doing? We were thinking about doing the gangster dope alarm. Because you've dropped a gangster and a dope in that last segment, and just kind of
behind, did he?
Yeah, we
just have I gotten it. So numb to the gangsters and dopes
no,
that
no, no,
I don't even hear
no,
them?
No, no, no,
desensitized.
No, okay, that's a funny joke. Ha ha. Funny joke. No, I literally am saying it less often. I'm making a conscious effort to say it less because I don't like to overuse words. I don't like if you guys told me, "Hey, man, you said phenomenal three times in that last segment." Because sometimes you just get stuck on a word. I wouldn't.
That's our new go-to.
Exactly.
When either one of you fall back on a crutch,
I love it.
It's going to be a...
It's funny. I was just talking to a bunch of people about radio in Atlanta and whatnot on my Twitter page. The Twitter page will be named hopefully on Monday. And a guy said, you know, I like your guys' show except for you have the one guy who only talks NBA, and then you have a guy that just talks about Miami football every single day. Miami in 2017 was barely relevant, and they choked. So I sent back to him. I said, you got us. Rick only talks NBA, and I only talk, quote, irrelevant Miami football. I said, coming up tomorrow, we're going to talk about the NBA draft prospects of Lonnie Walker and Bruce Brown from Miami's even less relevant college basketball team. And he never responded.
So that dude would love the MO and PB podcast that's coming to an iPhone near you.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we're going to do. But we're just going to reflect on the week that was and just play all the gangster dope sounds of Miami University.
And all my hot NBA takes.
Before we get to an NFL bounce, take a call. Tony's been hanging on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Tony, how you doing?
I'm good, man. How's it going today?
Doing good, man.
Excellent. So I just wanted to chime in a little bit about that whole Matt Ryan and Jimmy Garoppolo situation. I think that it's tough to compare the two because you're talking about one team that's got a boatload of cap space and they absolutely need a quarterback. And you're talking about the Atlanta Falcons who have a guy who's tried and true. And as far as I'm concerned, Matt Ryan, you know, he needs to look at the situation and say, you know, yeah, I'm ready to get a Super Bowl in, and I could spare a little bit of money if it means that we're going to complete a team that's going to take me there. If you look at some of the history of some of the other quarterbacks that have played, you know, Tom Brady, obviously, you know, a lot of people call him the GOAT. 18 seasons over his entire career, he's grossed $197 million approximately. That's only a little over $10 million or so a year. And he's constantly sacrificed himself for his team because he wants championships. And so I don't think that it would be above Matt Ryan to actually, make that move and allow us to get some players that, are going to fill in our offensive and defensive line and make us the team that needs to take us there.
You get a little golf clap right there. Making a lot of sense, my friend, making a lot of sense. Now, the way they've cooked the books in New England, Brady's actually kind of getting more than is being reported. However, Tom Brady is not maxing out all of the money that he could get. Do you agree with me on that?
I agree.
He is not going all the way to the ceiling. And that's all I'm asking of Matt Ryan. Don't go all the way to the ceiling, okay? Drop down a little bit below the ceiling and have Arthur Blank come out and say, Matt Ryan really helped us in the negotiations. John, Carmelo Anthony, when he signed his deal and he's now going to opt into another year with Oklahoma City because it's like $28 million or whatever. When, believe it or not, Carmelo Anthony left money on the table when he signed that deal with the New York Knicks. He did, and it became public, and it really helped his PR up there. Now, John, we're talking about pennies on a $100-plus million contract, but nevertheless, that's all I'm asking of Matt Ryan. Leave some pennies on the table.
I want to go to the first point he made, and the caller was actually spot on, Tony was. San Francisco, Cleveland, teams like this have close to 100 or had close to $100 million in cap space.
And they're not close to winning a title, so why not pay the quarterback?
Well, you also have to remember there is a floor in the NFL, so they're going to have to spend money. Remember 2 years ago, Jacksonville was like $80 million under the cap, and they give Malik Jackson a $90 million deal. This offseason, they pay Calais Campbell. And everybody's going, what the hell are they doing? Well, they had to. They have to get to a certain percentage at the salary floor. You're going to see Cleveland, and this is why I still think Kirk Cousins ends up in Cleveland. They have to spend money just for the sake of spending money. They might give Kirk Cousins $30 million a year. Now, is he worth it? Probably not. But when you need to get to a certain salary point, you go out and spend money on the position that you can do it. They're probably going to overpay a defensive lineman and a DB and somewhere else. And San Fran will do the same thing. I get all of that. You can still position Matt Ryan where, okay, he takes a mil here, a mil there off the top, and you move the money with the guarantees and the bonuses where it still is salary cap friendly. I'll still disagree. Matt Ryan could take a million-dollar deal right now, and people in this city are going – the people that are going to hate him are going to hate him regardless because they're going to say, I don't care. I'd rather have Lamar Jackson. I'd rather have Sam Darnold. I'd rather have Kirk Cousins because I've seen somebody earlier that says we should cut or trade Matt Ryan for Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is a free agent, so you don't really have to trade for him. Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
Kirk Cousins has the Romo gene. And he's not as talented as Tony Romo. Tony Romo was talented as hell, but a complete choke artist. Kirk Cousins is talented, but he's not talented as hell. Come on, that'd be a downgrade. And I'm a fan of Matt Ryan, but I'm not head over heels in love with Matt Ryan. I mean, it's not like, oh, my God, he's the greatest in all this. I like him. I appreciate him. I respect him. I like watching him every Sunday. I think he's a damn good quarterback. He's a future Hall of Famer. But there is a next tier above Matt Ryan. Thing is, though, John, there's a tier below Matt Ryan, and Kirk Cousins is in that tier.
Yeah. I've never said Matt Ryan is the best. Aaron Rodgers, you can argue, better than Matt Ryan.
No question.
Tom Brady, not even close, better than Matt Ryan. Drew Brees, better than Matt Ryan. Ben Roethlisberger for a career, better than Matt. I'd take Matt Ryan today over Ben.
No way.
I would.
No way.
I would. Ben's got a year, year and a half, maybe two, and he's out of there.
I'll give you that. I'll ride with Big Ben.
Point being, nobody on this show or this station said Matt Ryan is the best. What I'm saying is you don't want to run a guy out of town and you don't have a for sure replacement. You want to tell me now the Falcons should take their first pick and draft a quarterback and trade away Matt Ryan? You're going to have a team that's not nearly as competitive a year from now.
You say goodbye to the Super Bowl if you do that.
You have no chance.
With Matt Ryan, we have a chance, okay? Mm-hmm. Do we have a great chance? I'd like to think so. Is that realistic? I don't know. But we have a franchise quarterback. What I know is that you almost have zero shot of winning a Super Bowl without a franchise quarterback. Baltimore did it with Trent Dilfer. Tampa Bay did it with Brad Johnson. Nick Foles just did it with Philadelphia. Jeff Hostetler did it back in the day with the Giants.
Yep. Doug Williams with the Redskins.
He was kind of franchise-y.
He was the backup that year, most of the year, and then all of a sudden he became the starter.
Right, but he was at one point a franchise quarterback. He was Tampa Bay's franchise QB.
Yeah, back in the late 70s, early 80s.
I'm just saying, but to your point, he wasn't Dan Fouts, mm-hmm. Dan Marino, one of you know the top quarterbacks of his era, but he had a phenomenal team around him. But my point is, by and large, you got to have a franchise QB to win the championship.
Yeah, Nick Foles, give him all the credit. Obviously, he had a tremendous playoff run. Part of the reason Philly was in position to have that playoff run is their franchise quarterback, Carson Wentz, had him as the number one seed. If they're not the number one seed, I don't know that Philadelphia wins the Super Bowl.
Burp, burp, burp.
If they don't get the games in Philadelphia in that cold and wind and everything mm-hmm. else, I don't think they win the Super Bowl.
As much as I said that you know I'm okay that I liked our Falcons vibe on the road better last mm-hmm. year than at home. Still, John, when you consider, and you were there, you said the conditions were awful. And they weren't awful for short and intermediate passing. But anything long, forget about it. It was left out of the playbook that day. If it's a Mercedes-Benz Stadium, Sark has the entire playbook at his disposal, and maybe it's a different ball game. And by the way, like on the road, hostile environment, Nick Foles doesn't find that rhythm and that comfort that he did. And obviously he rode that all the way to the championship.
Hey, one thing, and I teased this before the break, one thing apparently fans want fixed more than anything, and it's no surprise, it is the catch rule in the NFL. Again, when you have a rule that people that are hardcore watchers of your sport cannot understand, and you have officials, executives, coaches, and players that don't get it either, and it's not consistent, it needs to be fixed. Obviously, Rich McKay said on this station, the competition committee will meet. They're going to find out a more simplistic way to come up with the catch rule. Thank goodness.
We've talked about it a lot, and I'll just say this for anybody who hasn't heard me say it. The biggest difference for me is runner and receiver. Throw that out of the rule book. If you have possession of the ball and you've made a football move, you're a runner, period. And so get the ball over the stripe, and it's a touchdown. That's where I'm at.
Any idea whose beat this is?
I'm going to say Dre.
No.
Am I right?
This is Too Short.
Too short.
Too short.
Dude, you are, this is an awesome cultural / hip hop education today.
I used to fall asleep to this tape, Life is Too Short. It's about 48 minutes on one side of a Memorex. I used to sleep to this every night for like 2 years. Just great mellow beats. Awesome. We take a break. We come back from the Bible. Preacher Man's pretty mellow, at least today.
All right, right around the corner here on the Midday Show with Rick and John as we continue our midday party. Robert Latall from Black Sports Online. We're going to have a good overarching conversation with him, pop culture, sports, and everything in between. And
maybe research material.
Maybe research material. And then at 1:20, we're going to get back into the Falcons a little bit. The Jimmy Garoppolo contract, $137.5 million over 5 years. What does that mean for our Birds and Matty Ice? But right now, it's the Preacher Man. It's time to shine.
We're really doing a Winter Olympic update.
Just relax. Oh, okay. Shirt on.
Hey.
All right, from the Bible is brought to you by Dunn Waterproofing and Restoration. Get it done with Dunn. Call 770-4FLOODS, Dunn Waterproofing. Now, Magic Johnson may get fined for recruiting opposing players, but the same rule does not apply to the fans of the Los Angeles Lakers. As last night, they were chanting, "We want Paul," as in Paul George, as they were playing the Thunder.
Now, the first time that Magic Johnson got dinged by the NBA for tampering, he was on the Jimmy Kimmel Show, and he essentially said, "We want Paul George." And the NBA was like, "Really, Magic? Did you just make this that easy for us?" Ding! I forget what the fine was, but it was significant. And then, the other night, Magic Johnson, the ruler of the Laker Empire right now, said that he liked Giannis Antetokounmpo, and that Giannis Antetokounmpo he thought would lead Milwaukee to a championship one day. So it was a compliment. It was not recruiting. But the NBA dinged him $50,000 because apparently executives can't even mention the name of another player. So, and then you have this. So, but this is good, clean fun right here. The fans, the NBA can't find the fans. The NBA loves the fans. So they were, and by the way, Paul George, it was a blowout. No Russell Westbrook, no Carmelo Anthony last night. The Lakers actually blew out the Thunder, mm-hmm. but Paul George was amazing. He had 29 points. He had 16 points in the first quarter last night.
Right, yeah, he's a ball player, and he's also come out this week and said, basically, hey, you know, I might be happy in Oklahoma City, but it doesn't really mean that he's going to stay there.
You know what that means?
What's that?
We'll see how it goes in the playoffs.
Yeah,
and if Russell Westbrook gives me the rock, and if we bow out in the first round or can maybe go to the West Finals, Preacher Man, I really think that the more successful the Thunder are in the playoffs, the better the chances are of Paul George coming back. But if, like, it's the 4-5, and they're the 5, and Minnesota is the 4, and Minnesota wins, and they're 1-and-done in the playoffs, I think Paul George would leave at that point.
All right, well, John, your guy, Dwayne Wade, made it back to Miami yesterday.
Yeah! Woo!
Well, the Miami Police Department had a little tweet for him. They put up a picture of Dwayne Wade holding a trophy, and it's a missing persons report. And it now has stamped recovered on it. Underneath it says, cancel the bolo for Dwayne. He has been recovered in good condition. Welcome home. Hashtag Wade County.
I love it. And John just took off his 92.9 The Game hoodie. You'll be glad to know he does have a shirt on underneath it.
And what's the shirt say? It says Wade, loyalty over royalty. Kind of a shot at King James back when he left Miami.
Mm, it's a dope shirt.
It is.
Sorry, I used that word again. My bad. It's a great shirt. It's an awesome shirt. It's a fantastic shirt.
It is epic. Rack you.
Phenomenal.
No, there's no visions of grandeur for me. I know what it is. It's a retirement tour. Wade maybe plays a year or two more tops in Miami. But it's a feel-good sort. Miami's not going anywhere. They're going to be 5th to 8th seed. They might, if everything falls perfectly, win a playoff series. That's it. It's kind of a feel-good for Pat Riley. Remember 2 years ago that Pat Riley was a guy that was seemingly had run Dwayne Wade out of town over a couple of $1 million. Miami actually comes out genius in this. They didn't pay him 3 years and 50-some-odd million dollars. He's playing this year on a prorated portion of $2.3 million. And now all of a sudden, jerseys are selling like wildfire down there. And Miami is back to being Wade County.
It wouldn't surprise me if Dwayne Wade and Pat Riley had a wink-wink deal, because that was a money grab in Chicago from Dwayne Wade.
Absolutely.
That was the last big contract he was going to get. Mm-hmm. I believe it was an extra year than Miami wanted to go. And so it was a no-brainer for Wade to take the years and the money. But I think it was kind of wink-wink all along that he would eventually be back in Miami.
All right, the Winter Olympics is going on in Pyeongchang. And the one thing that I like to talk about, it's always good to know, how many condoms will be distributed at the Winter Olympics? Well, this year?
What, in the Olympic Village,
yes,
right? Where all the athletes
Olympic
are? Yeah, yeah.
For all the athletes, because they'd like to get it on. 110,000 condoms distributed.
How many athletes are actually there?
2,925 athletes will be competing this year. That works out to about 37 condoms per competitor.
Oh,
what, are they there
God.
For like a decade?
No, 2 weeks.
37 times in 2 weeks. That's a lot.
Look. We're talking about the greatest party on planet Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Are you kidding? 37 per person?
37 per person.
Oh, my God. Like, Wilt Chamberlain would scoff at that. Well, he actually would scoff at that. You know, that's not enough for me.
2 weeks, that's 14. My man, that's at least twice a day, plus the days you compete. You probably don't want to do anything that day. Yeah. In my 20s, maybe.
We got to remember, some of these competitors only have one competition. So
that
they
is true.
One time, and then they're done. So then it's party
great
time.
Point. Great point. And in turn, well, at least they're doing their best to stop the spread of disease. Okay, mm-hmm. So that's a good look. And also, they're looking to control the population crisis on planet
Apparently.
Earth as well. So
110,000.
110,000.
I think that's a little overkill. Like five a person, I think they'd be okay.
All right. So I do have a poll up on my Twitter account. Just go to a little search thing and put Rick Camlin. It'll pop up and you can see it.
At MLS Rick.
The poll says, they tell me the Winter Olympics begin today. Do you care? Yes is 38%. No is 62%. So 60-40 basically saying, no, I don't give a rat's, you know what,
well,
about the Olympics.
Well, and here's the thing. The Olympics actually started like 2 days ago. The opening ceremonies are tonight. Like, how do you have events start before the opening ceremony?
They always have.
Do they?
Yeah,
they've
always had events start before the opening ceremonies. And the opening ceremonies actually have already happened. They'll just be played on TV tonight. Because you got to remember, they're like...
Right.
They're like a day ahead of us. Over there.
That's cool. I'm all for Americana, and if there's a story that develops in the Winter Olympics, I'll flip over. I'll pay attention. I'm not tuning in to watch curling. What's the event, like the alpine skiing where they have a gun and they ski for a little bit? And
the biathlon?
That's it.
I was, matter of fact, I was in the gym yesterday and the mogul event came on. My knees hurt just watching the moguls because they're going, jump, woo!
If anybody could see this right now, this would be hilarious.
You just got out of breath doing that.
I just hurt my
ass.
Am
I on an island here? I'm the only, I love the Olympics.
You're Mr. America. That's
why. Mr. Glass Half Full.
Gretchen was watching the figure skating last night, and before that, they do all in and out of commercial breaks. They do the, you know, emotional stories about how they got there and where they came from. I buy it. It's every 2 years, summer, winter Olympics.
See, I like the summer Olympics.
Every 4 years you get the winter. We'll sit around this weekend, and it'll be on because it's on like 18 different networks. Something will always be on. It's like a Saturday with college football. I'll have it on in the background all weekend because it's the Olympics. You don't get it that often. I love it. I freaking love it.
I told you, Mark, I like the summer Olympics. I'll watch all the track and field. The swimming sometimes can be fascinating. Basketball is obviously huge in the summer Olympics. The winter Olympics just don't have sports that, quite frankly, I can participate in.
I think the snowboarding and the skiing is really cool. Like, mm-hmm. I actually will watch a little bit of that. And I can tell you right now, and I'm sure your wives probably are going to be the same. Charity will watch every second of the figure skating. Men's, women's, the teams. She loves that figure skating stuff.
Yurani has zero interest in that. None.
Do you still watch the X Games at
all?
No. Has it backflipped the shark?
I watched it the other night. Like I was telling you guys, these guys flipping these snowmobiles over a jump and then letting go of the snowmobile, and they grab it in the air and land on it. I'm like, oh, my God.
It feels like you're just watching a Red Bull commercial.
Yeah, pretty much. Like
you know, Mark's talking about the feel-good story of the athletes. Let's talk about the Real Sports on HBO did a segment before the Olympics started about how much money the American athletes had to pay out of their own pocket just to get to the Olympics, when the Olympic U.S. Committee has hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars that they do not disperse to our athletes, unlike other countries.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
But I digress.
What do we have as research?
Our research material today comes from RJ in McDonough. He has sent the name of Georgina.
Here we go. 1 hour to go, baby, and we have reached the weekend. Well, almost. We've got the West Coast Rap for you. The competition at Rick and John 929 was won by West Coast Rap, and we've been grooving with it all day and having a blast. And tonight, John, it is date night for your boy Cam and his beautiful wife Charity, and I'll stop talking in the third person and bring some eyes into it.
Are you going to call yourself the Cam?
No, El Cam.
El Cam.
We're going to Watershed, a restaurant.
I heard that's really good.
It is awesome, John. I'm telling you, awesome. Not great, awesome. It's right there on Peachtree. They have a hemp-infused vodka drink. It's delicious. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't even involve Red Bull or Club Soda. It's a craft cocktail over there, and it is amazing. And Charity wants to take me bowling tonight.
Where are you going? Stars and Stripes?
I don't know. Some spot.
Okay.
Probably not Stars and Stripes. A little far away from Snellville for us. But
there's actually one in Lawrenceville.
Really?
Yeah.
Did not know that.
Yeah.
That might be the place. So, yeah, a little dinner at Watershed, a little bowling. Can't wait, man. What do you got going on tonight?
Not much. It's Pizza Friday at our house, so we're gonna have some pizza like we always do, hang out with the wife and kids. I'm actually going to the Hawks game on Sunday afternoon. Take the kids, go see maybe one of the Kardashians. Maybe Chloe pops in, as it's going to be Pistons and Hawks on Sunday afternoon.
And tonight, Cavs and Hawks from Phillips Arena. How cool is that? I think it's really cool, by the way, that the new-look Cavaliers are coming here. The game is here, right? It is.
It is.
Here, 7:30 tonight.
So it's a Kardashian weekend here in Atlanta.
It really is. But I'm excited for the ball game tonight.
Let's head out now on the WadeFord.com hotline. He is the founder and editor-in-chief of Black Sports Online. It's Robert Littell, our guest here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Rob, how you doing?
I am doing well. Now that I'm back in L.A., sunny L.A., away from negative 15 in Minnesota.
How was Radio Row last week? We were not up there because, well, the Falcons didn't make it to the Super Bowl. How was it being in the food court, being amongst all of that mess that was Minneapolis?
It was different. Obviously, you guys have been to Super Bowls before. It's normally in a big convention center with a little more space. It was very condensed. The fans were right on top of everything. It was kind of hard for the guys to do the interviews because of all the chants and things like that. Now, the good news is if you wanted to eat, you were right there. You're good. You didn't have to go anywhere. You know, if you needed to get a sweater, you know, you were good to go because you're in the mall. It was different. You know, it's the Super Bowl, so, you know, you kind of expect different experiences. But I can't say that I ever expected to have a Super Bowl where the media center and the workroom and the credentialing, you know, was right next to an H&M. I can't say that I was ready for that, but it was different.
I love it. Rob Littal of Black Sports Online joining Rick and John here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So, Robert, everybody listening is like, okay, cut to the chase. Stop burying the lead. How was the freaking nightlife in Minneapolis for Super Bowl week? Did you get it in, Robert?
Well, you know, I hit up a couple of parties because, you know, I'm a man of the street. You know, I have to see the people and everything. But I tell you this, you know, Minnesota people are very nice. They're very accommodating. They're very, you know, it's a very sweet town and everything. But, you know, I just don't think they, you know, they really got the Migos or T-Pain, you know, so I, you know, or 21 Savage. I don't know if that's their type of vibe in Minnesota because, you know, DJ Khaled was there and he was trying to hype them up and they're like, who is this guy? I don't know this guy. Where's Rihanna? It was that type of vibe. So it was cool. It was okay. But it wasn't like a Miami, you know, it wasn't like a New Orleans. It wasn't like an L.A., it was folksy, I guess is the word I would use.
Well, let's be real, Rob. The Super Bowl's right here in Atlanta next year. We know Migos. We know 21 Savage. And I promise you the parties will start 2 weeks prior, and they'll last probably until April.
Yeah, that was one of the things that I heard a lot. Well, I can't wait till we get to Atlanta. So if anything, you should thank Minnesota because whatever reservation someone may have had about Atlanta, if they went to Minnesota, it's going to make Atlanta seem 10 times, you know, better. So by being in Minnesota before Atlanta, you know, people aren't going to complain as much because they're like, well, you know, yeah, the traffic, the this, the that. But it's not negative 15 degrees outside, so I'm not going to complain.
Robert Littal, Black Sports Online, joining us here. We're having a blast with him. Robert, I am born and raised in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I am as white as a white guy gets. I was Edina was where I don't know if you saw Edina there. It's a suburb very close to the city. Anyway, I agree with everything you said about my hometown, okay? Every single thing. You did not offend me one bit, bro.
Oh, but that was very nice. And I try to separate. Look, we're going to the Super Bowl as media. You know, it's free. It's not like we're paying. They give us free food, free entry. I never want to be that guy that is like, oh my God, it was a horrible experience. I came from someone that had a website that only me and my mom was reading, you know, to being, you know, at a Super Bowl to see Tom Brady and the Eagles and all of this stuff. So I know better, than to complain about that. And I'm more of a people person. And yes, it was cold. But, you know, the people weren't rude. They were nice. They were like, you need any help. They were very generous. They were doing the best that they can under the circumstances. You know, you can't control the weather. So I always wanted to say, look, there's no need to – I heard some media person say, that's the worst thing that's ever happened in my life. Well, that just means you haven't had that tough of a life, sir. You need to calm down a bit.
So, Rob, we got to ask you, we love your website. We obviously, you know, follow you guys on social media. I've kind of watched the meteoric rise of Black Sports Online. How did you get your start, and what was the vision when you started the website?
Well, my initial vision was back then, it wasn't like now. We didn't have all of this social media, and everybody was online, and the phones were basically like mini computers. It wasn't as much. And what was out there online at that time, it was very biased. No offense, it was very white. It didn't have a good perspective. The stereotype was that bloggers or people that wrote online were like fat white guys that stayed in their mama's basement and couldn't get any girls and weren't cool and stuff. And I didn't grow up like that. I mean, I grew up in the music, you know, rap and R&B and hip-hop and all of this stuff. And I just wanted to bring a little more vibe, a little more flavor to online media. And I also want to give an opportunity to people that wouldn't normally get an opportunity in media. I mean, I went to college. I have a journalism degree. I have those advantages. But there are certain people that are really good at writing, really good at video, really good at telling stories, covering, you know, events, you know, but they don't have the degree or they don't know someone in the industry to help them out. I wanted to find those diamonds in the rough and give them an opportunity because their voices needed to be heard. And it's just kind of grown, you know, from that to where now people do see us as that alternative media or that different perspective or the hip and urban, you know, media. And it's funny because mainstream media is now trying to become that. You know, they want to be more hip. They want to, you know, say it's lit. You know, they want to have the Migos on their stuff. You know, I had Migos stories back in 2010 you know, when nobody really knew, when they were just local. You know, but now, you know, it's a big, it's, you know, let's get the Migos. So it was always that type of thing, and I want to continue to do that even as we've grown, is to give people opportunities in this industry so we can make it as diversified as we possibly can.
Robert Latall from Black Sports Online. This interview is lit AF for sure. I want to play I want to play a little game called Shade or Shine with you a little bit later on. But the big controversy from the big controversy from the Super Bowl was Malcolm Butler being benched, and we're all sort of, you know, how much weed was it? How late were you? You know, should Bill Belichick have played you anyway for the sake of winning a championship? So just give us your read on Malcolm. Robert, bottom line, do you think the Patriots would have won the Super Bowl with Malcolm Butler playing defense?
I don't know if they would have won. They would have been in a better position. Let's put it like that. You know, and I know it came – here's the thing. It came down to, you know, pretty much the last 5 minutes of the game. You just have to wonder if Malcolm Butler is in the game. Does he make a play? Does he make, you know, Nick Foles look a different direction? You know, it's so many variables to it. But I can tell you this. I talked to some Patriots players immediately after the game, off the record and on the record. They all were upset. They wouldn't go as far as to criticize Belichick, but a lot of them did not know this was happening until, you know, 15, 20, 30 minutes before the game. This was not something like, I could see if it was in practice. He said, listen, this is who's going to start. This is what's going to happen. Malcolm, you're not going to play. And they had some time to process it. No, the guy that was starting in front of him only found out at pregame. So the players were really upset, and they didn't have a good explanation why. And they do feel, even though they have probably never said, they do feel like Belichick not necessarily cost them the Super Bowl, but did not give them the best chance to win the Super Bowl.
Robert, stay on a sports tip for a second. Do you think this is the end of the Patriots dynasty?
Not as long as they have Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. It's kind of like LeBron. Like, with LeBron, everything could be going crazy around him, but he's still LeBron. So you still got to say, well, he's still kind of the favorite because they have LeBron and none of the other teams do. It's kind of the same thing with the Patriots. It's like they still have Belichick and Brady, and you don't. So no matter what is going on, because honestly, if you look at the talent beyond Belichick and Brady on the Patriots, there is not that big of a gap. I thought the Eagles were far more talented at running back, at wide receiver, at cornerback, linebacker, line. They just had Nick Foles instead of Tom Brady. So, to me, that's the only real thing. It's not so much that they're falling apart. I don't think anything's going to happen to the Patriots as far as being contenders. I'm not saying they're going to get to the Super Bowl every year until either Belichick or Brady decides to retire.
We work in mainstream media, obviously working for Intercom, who owns our station and all of that. So we're kind of bound by what we're allowed to do on social media. I'll watch. You will engage with people a lot of times and go to places that we won't. Has there ever been a time that you've gotten an argument that you sat at home and go, man, maybe I need to step away from this?
Yeah, you know, early in my social media career, I would go at everybody. If you came at me, I was going at you. It's just the mentality that I had, the underdog mentality. I felt like I had to fight to get where I was at. So if anybody questioned me or anybody tried to talk bad about the site, I would go at everybody. And then an hour later, I would be like, man, I wasted an hour of my time with someone with 35 followers when I could have been working or doing something else. So my general rule now is, you know, a more mature Rob, is that I will only interact and go at certain people if I consider them peers, meaning that if you're like another reporter or you work for a media entity and I feel like you're doing something that's not right, you know, I will come at you, especially if you come at me. But, you know, the 12 followers, the bots and everything, they get one tweet and then I walk off. It's like a walk off, you know, Minneapolis Miracle TV. I give them one tweet and I go, because I think at times on social media, it's just so easy to get caught up in it. And I try to remind myself that anything that you say on social media, you have to be willing to speak about face to face if you were right next to the person. So I never curse. I never try to name call. I try to keep it professional. I go hard, but I'm not going to be, you know, calling anybody names that I wouldn't call them if I was, you know, right there in their face.
Robert Littell, Block Sports Online. All right, we're going to play a little game, Shade or Shine. Give us like a brief answer on this. We're going to name a band, an athlete, an actor, an actress, and Shade or Shine. You like them or you don't. Let's start with the Winter Olympics, Shade or Shine.
Shade, except for curling. I like curling.
You like curling? Really?
I like curling. Those guys with those brooms, they're really funny to me. It's like a joke. It's like a comedy show. It's really funny.
Yeah, when I watch curling... I was going to say, when I watch curling, I think of what my wife makes me do in the kitchen. You need to go sweep. I don't want to do that. It's not a sport.
That's what makes it funny. They're so serious, man. I didn't even know the Winter Olympics was starting. That's how much shade I have to know. I'm like, wait a minute. There's people that's, ice skating today. What's happening? I didn't even know what was going on.
Hilarious. All right, Shade or Shine with Robert Littell from Black Sports Online. Jimmy Buffett, Shade or Shine?
Oh, no, I shine Jimmy Buffett because Jimmy Buffett got like $100 billion, and he dresses... he dresses like he gets his clothes from Target. That's how you stay rich. You know, that's how you stay rich. You wear sweatpants and fish shirts when you got $20-30 billion, and that's how you stay rich. So definitely shine for Jimmy Buffett.
Shade or shine the skinny jogging pants that all the millennials are wearing.
That's a tough one. Instinct. I'm gonna shade it. You know, because, listen, I know it's a PG show, but, you know, I got to breathe if you get with the Rock is cooking. You smell what the Rock is cooking.
Absolutely.
I
got
to breathe in my pants. You know, but I try not to shade the young people too much because when I was a young man, I wore hammer pants and Michael Jackson jackets. And I got my mom got pictures of that, and I look at it, and I'm like, So... those kids now that are wearing the pants, they're going to grow up, be 30, 40, 50 years old. They're going to look back on it and be like, So I try not to shade them too much. But you got to let your stuff breathe a little bit.
No, I hear you. We're right there. All right, we got to go rapid fire here. Josh McDaniels, okay. Shade or shine?
I'm going to shade that because, I'm a man of my word. You know, if you make a promise, you got to keep it. So shade for him.
Trey Young, shade or shine?
Who?
Trey Young of Oklahoma.
Oh, Trae Young. Oh, definitely shine. I mean, young Steph Curry with the curly hair and everything. It came out of nowhere. I like him a lot, and I think he's going to be good in the NBA.
Me too. LeBron James, shade or shine?
I'm shining LeBron James. Just to get this out real quick. When LeBron came out, if you remember LeBron in high school, so many people thought he was going to fail. The expectations were so high for LeBron coming out of high school, and for him, he's exceeded, in my mind, those expectations, which for a young black man at the time, single-parent household, coming from where he came, I don't think he gets enough credit for that.
One more, shade or shine, Isaiah Thomas, who's now a Laker.
I'm going to shade that because he has a Napoleon complex. And guys that have Napoleon complex always say crazy things. I'm sorry that you're about as tall as Kevin Hart. That won't change. Stop being so angry.
Rob, we really appreciate it. We got to get you
Please
back on
come
during
on
the summer.
Again soon.
Absolutely.
Anytime. Because I'm not doing anything here except looking at the beach because it's 90 degrees outside in LA, not -58.
Yeah. We're hating you for that one. Thanks. That's Robert Littell. He's the founder and editor-in-chief of Black Sports Online.
Way to go, Emma.
Really,
Way
really fun go. Interview. We'll come back. We'll follow that up with Ask Us Something About Anything about Matt Ryan, and maybe we'll talk about Jimmy Garoppolo, too, on 92.9 again.
Shade or shine? Give us, like, a brief answer on this. We're going to name a band, an athlete, an actor, an actress, and shade or shine. You like them or you don't. Jimmy Buffett, shade or shine?
Oh, no, I shine Jimmy Buffett because... Jimmy Buffett got like $100 billion, and he dresses, he dresses like he gets his clothes from Target. That's how you stay rich. That's how you stay rich. You wear sweatpants and fish shirts when you got $20-30 billion, and that's how you stay rich. So definitely shine for Jimmy Buffett. Wasting away
again. Whoa, what happened to my West Coast rap? Don't try to hijack me, Mark.
He'll tour out on the West Coast. He'll hit the... Panhandle of.
You could rap.
The panhandle of what? Mark?
You could rap to like a 70-year-old at this. Hey, I've got a Metamucil floater over here for you.
So I do want to check in, MO, as we bring you a grab bag segment here on the Midday Show with Rick and John, because we're over it. It's the end of the week. MO, I would like you to pull up your phone, and I want to know what the voting is right now on are you a squatter or are you a pooper at Rick
proudly,
and John 929.
Proudly brought to you by Vision Computers.
Defined proudly.
Okay. It's a Vision Computers Twitter poll, and we put one up.
Did you mean reluctantly?
Yeah. Pretty much.
So if you missed how this conversation got started, you can hear all of the show. Go subscribe to us on iTunes. Search 92.9 The Game. The weekend review is already up there, but for everybody else, you'll hear it in about 20 minutes. All right. Vision Computer Twitter poll at Rick and John 92.9. Your bathroom routine, and we are very sorry for this. You hover, you go, you get the hell out. Or B, you sit, you relax, no rush, let nature take its course. Right now, 69% of the votes coming in saying, I take my time.
I told you. I told you. Yeah, now here's the difference. You needed to say public bathroom. But I still think the squatters would win. But where this comes from is, you know, John and me and Preacher Man and M.O., we're men of the people. We're men of the streets. So we're in public places a lot, bars, restaurants here. And I've just noticed that a lot of people seemingly waste most of their day just sitting in the stall.
Well, a lot of that is people have real eight-hour jobs with a one-hour lunch break, and they're trying to find ways to break up the monotony. I remember
I'd find a different way than sitting in a smelly public bathroom.
Well, it's either that or you go outside and you take a one of your 87 smoke breaks.
Go play. We got a ping pong table right down
we
there.
We do, but a lot of people don't.
A lot of people work around here.
Well, they do. A lot of people.
But I told you squatters would win, man.
Hey, well, before we move on and talk about this Jimmy Garoppolo contract, which apparently is now the breakdown is out there from Adam Schefter, let's give away a pair of movie passes, two to be exact, to the advanced screening of the Black Panther movie at AMC Parkway Point off Cobb Parkway in Marietta. Black Panther does hit theaters on Friday, February the 16th. For all station contest rules, visit 929thegame.com/rules. Caller number three right now, 404-741-0929. Again, 404-741-0929. You get a pair of tickets to see the Black Panther movie screening. Are you going to go see that? Are you? Because that's a comic book movie. Are you going to see that?
I like comic book movies. I definitely will see it eventually. Mm-hmm. Whether it's when does it come out?
Friday, February 16th, next week.
Yep. I will see it with my boys when they are down here for spring break. They're down. Will Black Panther still be in the theaters in late March?
Should be, but it'll probably be a lot more limited screenings at that point.
So I would see it at that point, and if not, then I would see it, another way. Buy it. On demand, whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll see it. I like comic book movies.
I will because, again, Kane is into all of that stuff. I'm not into the comic book movie genre. It's just not me. My son is. He'll want to watch it, which mm-hmm. means, in turn, I will watch it.
I mean, I'm not into it like Graham McCauley and Hugh Douglas, where they know plot lines and how, like, the different movies intersect and where they're going and, you know, all that. I mean, they're, like, scientific about it. I just like watching stuff blow up and watching a bunch of CGI stuff that actually, in fact, could not happen.
Yeah, I do as well. Weren't they filming? What was the one they were filming right down the street? Was that Black Panther?
No,
or that
was the new Avengers.
Okay, that's what it was.
Infinity War Part mm-hmm. 2.
Sure, whatever you say.
Yes.
Hey, before we get into Jimmy Garoppolo.
It's been a long week, hasn't
we've
it?
We've spent a lot of time talking about Jimmy Garoppolo. What do you guys like? We're now into Valentine's week, and if you haven't gone out and taken care of Valentine's, it is Wednesday, and a lot of people have significant others out there. What do you do, Rick? You've been married now over 3 years.
3 years, yeah.
Okay, is it a special day still for you? Is it we're just going to dinner and we're done?
I'm not a big Valentine's day, but I'm a dude. So, but Charity's not like she could take it or leave it. But I'm working. I got a doubleheader. I actually have a triple header next Wednesday.
Did you do that on purpose?
No, it's a long story.
Mark, do you have a baseball game?
I got
game?
Here. I got 10 before tip on NBA TV, and then I got early game time on NBA TV next Wednesday. So exactly.
Dude, that is going to
no
be
nookie
the great,
for me.
That's going to be the great sound effect on this show.
No nookie for me. Does Daryl not kill you on the morning show with the spoiler alert siren?
Oh, yeah.
When Hugh Douglas starts talking about a movie. Oh my, Daryl Ashurst, you kill me with that every time.
That is a siren that you will never have to hear on this show because what was the group text last night that I sent to you guys?
Remember the Titans was on TV.
All caps. Remember the MFing Titans is on USA Network. Tricky Ricky, check it out.
Hold on, Will. I want to go to.
We were heading out for Del Taco. I couldn't watch it.
Yeah, because Del Taco is a sit down 2 hour meal.
Yeah, we were heading out for Del Taco. I had too much going on.
I said, okay, relax, sunshine. Then Rick goes, LOL, I'm not home. Thanks, PB. And I replied, you wouldn't watch it anyway. Mm-hmm. Then Johnny Michaels goes, DVR. I responded, DVD.
Yeah.
And John responded, loss. And then I said, in translation. And Rick responded, LOL, you're right.
That movie is so gone. That movie might have been taken out on the jet ski and just dropped into your lake somewhere.
John, we need to shift the focus off of me and onto Mark Owens for not seeing Scarface.
Well,
I'm telling you, don't divert.
Yeah, she would really enjoy the Saw portion of the movie early on when they're in an old Art Deco hotel in South Beach.
Yeah, don't take me back there. That's one of the toughest movie scenes I've ever had to see.
Yeah, whatever. Sometimes you got to cut a guy up. It happens. Valentine's Day.
Listen to this guy.
What about the fake holiday that people want me to spend money on?
Now, do you spend money on Valentine's Day?
I'll buy the wife some roses and a card. That's as much as he
That's
gets.
It?
My wife could care less about Valentine's
20
Day.
Years you can get away with that. Mark Owens, what can you get away with on Wednesday?
Hell yeah, I'm celebrating Valentine's Day. Come on now.
Now, do you wear like silk drawers or something for that day?
That's an everyday thing. No, we are actually celebrating Valentine's Day this weekend.
Okay.
We're going to check out the Omni at the Battery
on
Saturday night. So we're going to have
big
a little
money.
You know it's called Braves Employee Discount.
That's why he's like, Rick, you got two jobs.
Yep.
So I need a second job.
It's funny. We're being a tourist at the Battery because I never get a chance to really go bounce around and booze at the Battery. Mm-hmm. We got a sitter. We're staying at the hotel. We're going to celebrate big time on Saturday night.
See, I've got a big week next week.
What do you got?
It's Valentine's Day. So the wife, we've kind of agreed, which means I still got to go above and beyond, but she's agreed.
You've agreed, which means she's getting her way.
It's ridiculous.
I mean, she's getting her way, right?
It turns out that you should spend way more money than you actually do.
No.
Somebody's feelings will get hurt.
What we've agreed upon is Valentine's Day will not be a big holiday. So we're going to do like a couple's massage. She goes, I want to go to the gun range. I go, all right, that's awesome. That doesn't cost a whole lot. I've still got a box of bullets in the house for the range that I'll just take with me and we'll pop out. She goes, I got to redeem myself. Plus, I want to buy a new pistol. And I was like, boy, this is my kind of wife. But the issue I have, okay, so we've...
You have multiples, and I'm just kidding.
And then we have dinner reservations that night. So Valentine's is easy, and I'll do flowers and card and all that stuff. Her birthday's then Friday.
Oh.
So then we turn around, I got to do dinner. We've got dinner reservations with the kids. And then Saturday is the big, all the friends are coming out. I've invited you guys out. I think I told you, Rick. If I didn't...
You have not.
Well, I'm inviting you and Charity out now.
I'm out. You didn't invite me. I'm kidding. That may work.
Okay.
That might work.
We are doing dinner and then going back to my house to pregame, and then we've got a VIP at a club.
I'm intrigued.
Okay.
I'm intrigued. I'll definitely stay in touch with you on that. So am I going to be able to parlay tonight's date night with Charity into a pre-Valentine's scenario?
Yep. Sure.
Because next Wednesday I have to work. Mm-hmm. M.O., you're doing Valentine's this weekend. Is that my vibe here?
Yeah, for those that work or you just can't get away for the night, you have this weekend and you have next weekend.
Or
don't give a crap.
Or do I just take Charity off of the Valentine's thing next Tuesday or Thursday?
No. Uh-uh. You can't do the day before the day after.
Okay.
If anything, you hook it up this weekend.
So if I want to make tonight like a Valentine's Day in advance kind of thing, flowers, right?
Yeah,
flowers.
Well, those usually help.
A card.
Kroger, Publix, they got you covered.
Yeah.
$15, best bargain in the world.
It's Valentine's week. They go up.
They won't go up till probably like Sunday.
Okay.
He's probably safe right now.
Okay.
But literally, guys and girls, I've said this for years. Publix,
Starship.
Kroger, 12, listen, I love that place. But a dozen roses for $15.
Yeah.
You're like, there's no way. And they suck.
They don't suck.
They last forever. I'm telling you.
You're not paying for the flowers. You're paying for the reaction.
It's for the moment.
No, but they're legitimate flowers. It's not like you put them in a vase and 2 minutes later they're all wilting and falling apart. No, they're like beautiful. They come to full bloom, John.
By the way,
$15.
The Jimmy Garoppolo contract breakdown's out there. If you want to go see
137
it.
And a half over five.
Yeah, he got a lot of money. That's all you really need to know. I bet you his Valentine's, he's not counting pennies
no,
this weekend.
Not.
Oh, no. It's go time for Jimmy G.
How about spending $3,000 on Valentine's Day for a hamburger? That plus the weekend review. It's all coming up next in Read Between the Lines. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.